Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. In our latest series of episodes, we're taking a look at all things Olympics, how our students, staff and alumni are making a difference out at the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. We'll also be exploring how expertise and research from Manchester Metropolitan University Institute of Sport is influencing and improving sporting performance and supporting wider healthy living. I'm Chris Morris, and in this episode I chat to Dr. Thomas Allen, Sport Engineer Specialist from Manchester Metropolitan University Institute of Sport, about the latest technology in running shoes and running spikes, which could break new records at the Olympics. Over recent years, the shoe technology has jumped ahead with innovations such as carbon plates in the shoes and feather-like materials. This will be the first games this type of technology has been seen on athletes' feet. Records could tumble both on the road and on the track. But what makes them so special? Are they fair, and do they actually make a difference?
Hello, welcome. I'm Chris Morris, and I'm sat here with Dr. Thomas Allen, Senior Lecturer in Sports Engineering at Manchester Metropolitan University. And Dr. Allen works within Manchester Metropolitan University Institute of Sport, the university's Centre for Excellence for Sport. And we're here today to talk about sports technology, specifically sports technology at the Olympics, and specifically sports technology on the feet of the athletes. Over the past few years, we've seen advances in technology in both trainers used by athletes running in longer distance road events, such as the marathon, and also in athletes running on the track. And recently, the famous sprinter Usain Bolt has been providing comments on some of these new spikes, believing that they provide an unfair advantage due to the changes in technology. So what we are going to chat about today with Dr. Allen is, what is this technology? What do we know about it? Will it make a difference? And will we see records tumble? If at all, we can answer that. So welcome, Thomas. I hope you're well.
I'm good, thank you.
So very briefly, if you could explain to us, what is this new technology in both the running and the spikes that we've seen over the past 5 years from the different sports manufacturers?
So the one that most people would probably be aware of is the distance running shoes, the shoes that people would typically buy and run in if they're, you know, a recreational runner. These shoes have become lighter. We know that as they become lighter, people can, you know, run more efficiently. They've also become thicker. So the soles have become, midsoles become much, much thicker. And also probably one of the most obvious innovations people have been talking about is this stiff plate, which is appearing in the midsole of these shoes. That stiffens the length of the shoe. Many claims that can improve your running economy. So you can run more efficiently, so you can run faster for longer. So they've appeared in these distance running shoes, but also in the spikes as well, with claims that these allow people to run faster.
What are some the specific technological innovations? Because obviously some of the famous technological innovations, they've inserted a carbon plate within both the road running shoe and the spike shoes.
Yeah, so the stiff plate is the one that most people are talking about. That's one of the obvious ones. So that essentially stiffens the length of the shoes, along the length of the shoe. There's been lots of research in the distance running shoes about exactly what that does. There's still kind of debate about exactly how that works, but there is consensus that it does lead to an improvement in performance. That's an improvement in running economy, which means you can run more efficiently. And in distance running, that is claimed to increase maybe your performance by 1%, perhaps. The spikes, there's similar claims as well that these stiff plates can improve your performance.
Me and you were chatting earlier, Thomas, weren't we? And you were discussing how there's a lot of data and information on the road running shoe. Now, famously, there was a lot of coverage on this over the past few years as marathon athletes started to wear it and times started to tumble. So tell us what we know about the road running shoe specifically, and then we'll touch on the spike.
There's been a huge amount of scientific interest since these newer shoes started to emerge on the market, and there's two kind of main ways in which, as scientists or sports scientists and sports engineers, this can be studied. First is to go into the lab and do very, very controlled studies, and then the other is where we might look at sort of what we might class as big data. So we look at how people are actually performing in real life, and then analyzing that data and looking at trends. So I'll talk about these just one at a time. So first of all, in the lab, we can have people running on treadmills, and we can be running, and then we can be measuring things like the amount of oxygen that's required for them to run. So we can look at their running economy. If they have an improved running economy, then they can run faster for longer. Running economy does not necessarily translate directly to the same increase in performance over the whole race, because there's other factors that are involved. But we have seen that from these lab studies that there are associated improvements in running performance. But it's not completely straightforward because there's compounding factors and different individuals can react differently to changes in the shoe, can also be affected by the speed in which you're running. So it's quite complicated, but there is clear evidence there that we're getting an improvement from these newer shoes. And these newer shoes tend to have a stiff plate. They tend to be lighter and they also tend to be thicker, so a thicker midsole, which deforms more and returns more of the energy which has been put into it. And then we can look at the other side where we're looking at essentially the big data or the marathon times, and we can see from analyzing the performances over set periods of time. So we can go back, say, 10 years and look at the performance, look at how they've changed, look at when interventions have come in. So, for example, when a new shoe was released, we can look at the number of athletes that are wearing this and then whether that had an effect. And we can look at, say, the top 20 athletes in the world or the top 20 performances in the world. But we can then maybe look at the top 100 and then go right down to sort of the mass population as well. And we've seen similar improvements here. So the new shoes have led to improvements in performance. So it's quite clear cut. Although the improvements aren't necessarily as large as those seen in the laboratory studies, probably because you've got a controlled study. And then when you take that out into reality, there's other factors which come in as well. And we've also seen differences between men and women tend to have an even larger improvement than men.
Very interesting. So we could potentially see some new records on the road, although obviously marathon races are dictated by the course as well. And there are fast courses and slow courses. But as you say, it's clear from the evidence that this new technology is providing a bump in performance. Now, in terms of the running spikes, the running spikes have been seen on the track over recent years. But in many ways, this will be the first time that a large majority of the population will be watching track events where these running shoes are debuted. What do we know about their performance benefits, or what do we not know about their performance benefits at the moment?
So the running spikes is a slightly different argument this time, because this is a smaller sort of population, you know, more the elite athletes and the kind of top end athletes who are wearing these, rather than your sort of mass sort of recreational runners that are more familiar with your long distance shoes. The fact that we're then working with that more elite population can make it slightly more difficult because you have less access to that population to work with in terms of your studies, and also that the improvements are much smaller over that very short distance. If you're running 100 meters, there's much less room for improvement there. So we know much less about this, but there is evidence to suggest that these newer shoes are improving performance. We won't know for certain, but what I foresee is that, similar to what we saw with the distance running shoes, we're going to see many studies coming through. We're going to see much more focus from the academic community looking into this and trying to really find out what is the effect of these newer shoes. But one of the key challenges, and this applies to both types of shoes, is that there's different things which contribute to these improvements. So it could be the mass of the shoe. It could be the stiffness of the shoe. It could be, you know, the midsole, how that's made, you know, the stiffness of that material. And it's actually quite hard to isolate those individual factors and then understand what the effect is in a study. And that's why it's so difficult for us to actually really determine, because then you add that in with the individual differences between your athletes.
In many instances, someone may be wearing this new shoe, but they may also have adopted a new training regime that has provided performance benefits. So it's hard, as you say, it's harder to isolate exactly what is providing that bump in performance.
Exactly. So different athletes perform differently. So there was one of the original studies on the Nike shoe where they saw on an average 4% increase in the running economy. And that was where this name, the 4%, came from. But actually, when you look into that paper in a little bit more detail, you see that was the mean average. Some athletes didn't really see an improvement, and some saw larger than the 4% improvement. And that's some of the key details, is that different people react in different ways to these shoes. And there's probably an optimum shoe for each individual rather than a shoe which works best for everybody.
Is that something we'll see more of, like specializations in shoes? If you talk about the ordinary consumer, so if I want to run a marathon in a couple of months and I want to buy these new trainers, we'll either go to a shop and someone in the shop will not just pluck it out from the back room, they'll be looking to give me a customized shoe.
Yes, yeah, I would say very much. So it's very much for sports technology and sports engineering in general, it's about customizing that product for the individual. So that is the ideal if we're talking purely from a performance perspective. So if you really want to get someone to perform as well as they can, you do the full sort of scientific study, the biomechanical analysis, you test them in different shoes, and you identify the optimum for them. But that isn't necessarily what the governing bodies want. The governing bodies might be saying, no, actually, that isn't what we want. We want these shoes to be available to everybody. We want them to be available to the public for a set period of time before they can be used in races. So you've got these different factors that you need to weigh up. What would actually result in the fastest performance if you're allowed to do whatever you wanted, and actually what the governing bodies want to control and allow for.
Yes, very much so. And in terms of these shoes being allowed or not allowed, how has that happened? Because obviously there was a lot of kind of consternation when the initial running Nike marathon trainer came out about whether it would be allowed and how it made its way into being allowed. How has that happened with the running trainers and spikes?
So one of the key things for a sports governing body, one of the challenges they have is they have to make sure that their sport remains popular. So they want people to be interested in their sport, they want to be popular, and embracing technology can really assist and help that. Because if that improves performance or increases the spectacle of the sport, that can help. So it's important for the brands to be bringing out new equipment and introducing new things. But at the same time, it's important for that governing body to ensure that technology isn't contributing too much to give an athlete an unfair advantage. When it really tips is when it's the equipment which is a dominating factor rather than, you know, the skill of the athlete. But that's the key factor. And for a governing body, they really need to stay ahead. So as well as the large shoe companies doing their research and contributing, you know, the new products, the governing bodies really need to be doing their own research. And that's a lot of time where the academics come in. So the more independent researchers trying to understand from a more scientific, just fundamental basis, what are the effect of these individual things? And that can then inform the rules and how these rules are set. So going back to your original question, what happens is the governing bodies need to stay ahead of these manufacturers. That's a very tough challenge. When you think of the size of these global companies that are producing these sports shoes, trying to stay ahead of them, I'm saying, right, this is what we predict is going to be the next innovation. So we'll adjust our rules. And occasionally that is what happens, that shoe company or the equipment company releases a product and then they have to say, OK, we're now going to have to make a quick change to react to that. But they should really be proactive rather than reactive.
I guess in some instances for these governing bodies, they don't necessarily have the crystal ball, and the ones that the innovators, if you will, are the manufacturers. And by its very nature, it's reactive and is playing catch up with the technological innovation.
Exactly. I mean, you're competing against these huge organizations whose sole purpose is to produce these products. So they're investing huge sums of money. They have large engineering teams. They have very specialist equipment. They're working with the best universities in the world to bring out these products. And there's lots of them. There's lots of these companies that are all doing this. And then the governing bodies have to try and somehow manage that process. And it's not straightforward. And as you said, a lot of time it does just have to be reactive. They have to, when something happens and a new product gets released that they think is unfair, they have to call together their team of experts and make a decision.
We are where we are. In lots of instances, these running trainers have been allowed by the governing bodies, and similar with the running spikes. And it's going to be a topic of contention. We may see records fall in road events and track events. And I may be asking you the unanswerable question, will we see records fall?
I would like to be very positive and say yes. I mean, as an engineer, I like to see technology being embraced. I like to see the discussion around it, and I like to see progress. So I'll be positive and say yes. I think it'll be small improvements, you know, very marginal, but I'd say yes.
Brilliant. Well, that's our conversation finished, looking at the shoe technology. Obviously, some of the most exciting events of the Olympics are road races and the track races, which are taking place at Japan 2020. And keep your eyes out on the feet of the athletes running in both those events. And who knows, we may see some records, but we'll certainly see some debate around these running trainers. And obviously here at Manchester Metropolitan University Institute of Sports technology and sports expertise, as demonstrated by Dr. Thomas Allen, is something we're very focused on and have a lot of research and expertise that we're looking into. So Dr. Thomas Allen, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode of Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. Your feedback is always welcome, as are much-needed review ratings on iTunes. So if you have a moment, please head there to let us know what you think. You can subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform. That's all for now. Until next time, goodbye.